Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, has a heavyweight offer for this weekend's fight with 100-1 odds. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 when you bet on the main card fighter to win. That's code FANRUN in all caps. For a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook, must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Is the Blitz.
Hour number two of the Blitz is live here on Fan Run Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, broadcasting live on the radio, 105.7 FM, 1340 AM. As always, the podcast will be uploaded just moments after the show goes off the air. As always, our Periscope is streaming right now live on the Facebook and Twitter accounts, in case you want to go check out the video feed of the show today. As always, you can go check out fanrunradio.com. Man, we put out a lot of great content on fanrunradio.com all over the whole weekend about the Tennessee and Arkansas series. So, hey, in case you missed anything from the weekend, in case you want to go back and figure out anything about any of the games, you can, of course, go and check those out at fanrunradio.com. Also, last but not least, go ahead to your app store. Look, Google App Store, Apple App Store, doesn't matter. Download the Fan Run Radio app. It's free to download. You can take the show, take the station, wherever you're headed each and every day throughout the day. Maybe you are getting ready for work in the morning. Maybe you're taking a shower in the morning. Maybe you're taking a shower at night. Hey, you can take the show, take the station anywhere at any time with the Fan Run Radio app. But hey, of course, you already knew all that. Guys, hour number one is in the books. Hour number two on deck. You guys ready to roll?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, here we go. A little bit of an opening drive to start out the second hour. First down. Gentlemen, Tennessee lost 2 out of 3 on the weekend at number one Arkansas at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. On Friday, Tennessee jumped out to a big 5-0 lead in the first inning of the game, although that's where the runs would end on the day. Arkansas would score the next 6 runs of the game, winning by a score of 6-5. Then on Saturday, Tennessee wins 8-7. Tennessee went into the bottom of the ninth inning down 7-5. Two men loaded the bases. Max Ferguson stepped up to the plate. Max Ferguson delivered a home run, skyrocketed over the right field fence for a walk-off 3-run bomb. The crowd went ballistic. The team erupted out of the dugout. There are some amazing pictures from the play, from the moment. It was truly a spectacle. Tennessee takes the second game of the series. Then on Sunday, you had a nice little 1 o'clock p.m. game once again. And unfortunately for Tennessee, went the way of Friday night's game. Tennessee jumped on the board first for a third straight game in the series, which, hey, in itself is a really great positive. But it doesn't really matter too much if you're not able to put runs up on the board after that as well. Tennessee jumps on the board first as neither team scores for about the first 4 to 5 innings of the game. Then Arkansas puts up 3 runs. Then Tennessee's able to put up 1 more in the bottom of the ninth, but stranded the final base runners. Once again, Phil mentioned that, man, too many times left this in this series. Tennessee left men on base. And when every single game in the series came down to a 1-run game, that is extra important. Tennessee loses 2 out of 3 on the weekend, but still positives to take away, and you likely did have the moment of the season with Max Ferguson's walk-off home run on Saturday.
Such a good pimp job.
Oh, my God, what a bat flip.
What a good pimp job. We are elite when it comes to pimping home runs. I mean, just to walk down the first baseline 3/4 of the way holding your bat before you throw it up in the air.
And then just
just the swagger that that takes, and then to give the Arkansas dugout a little something-something, too, on the way out.
So, oh, baby, I wonder about that. He said on Saturday after the game, he said when he kind of was making that gesture towards the Arkansas dugout on the third base line coming to plate, he said that he was acknowledging the fans in the stands. But he also said, I guess we'll see if Arkansas really took it that way in tomorrow's game. Now, I can't really think of anything that might have stood out in Sunday's game, but he said that he was gesturing towards the crowd. I wonder if maybe it was a little bit to the dugout. Nonetheless, he was fired the hell up.
You said it earlier, a rivalry brewing, and there was a lot of chippiness in this series. That's for certain.
Yeah.
And a lot of their players were even active on Twitter.
Oh, I had missed that.
Yeah, a lot of them were active on Twitter. Some of them, you know, taking some shots back at Tennessee fans. And then some of them more so just saying, hey, Tennessee, man, that was a really good environment. Shout out to you guys. You really did a good job harassing us. So I kind of think it just kind of depends on how good of a sport each individual player was. But, I mean, I can guarantee you that some very foul things were said to some Arkansas players this weekend.
And you can guarantee?
Guarantee.
You heard them with your own ears?
I heard them with my own ears.
Maybe. I won't go that far, but you guys, the students were making sure to bring the heat.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make it as hostile as possible, and you know, a lot of very close voices to me were saying some pretty mean things.
Close voices, huh?
I could hear very well.
Second down. Guys, we have a retirement coming out of the NBA. Not on the court, though, on the broadcast team. Marv Albert is retiring after the NBA's Eastern Conference Finals, ending a broadcasting career spanning nearly 60 years. Albert will call the series for TNT. He's been with Turner Sports for 22 years, 19 as an NBA play-by-play announcer. He is known for his signature, yes, I guess, call, which turns 80 next month. He's covered everything from football, basketball, hockey, boxing, baseball, tennis. He's most linked to basketball, having called 13 NBA Finals, 25 All-Star Games for NBC and Turner, along with the Dream Team's route to the gold medal in the 1992 Barcelona Olympics.
Good riddance.
Wow.
Get him off the broadcast.
Whoa. I was going to hit him with more like a happy trails, you know. Congrats on a great career.
Let's unpack this.
He's
one.
A creep.
Tell me.
Well, in 1997, Marv Albert became embroiled in a sexual assault scandal when a 42-year-old woman named Vanessa Perhatch accused Albert of throwing her onto a bed, biting her, and then forcing her to perform other sexual acts after a February 12, 1997 argument at his Pentagon City Hotel.
Good googly.
All right, but this was, what, 25 years ago? What has come out since?
Apparently.
Oh, I guess this fully went on trial and everything. During the trial, which began in September of 97, the defense brought into evidence a taped conversation. I'll get away from here. Ad. In which Perhatch, which seems to be the defendant here, appeared to have offered a friend of hers money in exchange for testifying against Albert. Later, however, the prosecution introduced Patricia Mastin, another hotel employee who claimed that the sportscaster had bit her on two separate occasions.
Yes,
and
he
tried to
he
force
bites.
Her.
He's a serial biter?
He's a serial biter.
How
it's
on,
weird.
How on earth did he make
Whoa.
It this
It's long? Weird.
How does he still have a job?
Man, a forensic dentist testified that he had made a definitive match between molds made from Albert's teeth and the marks on this woman's back.
Out of all the people in the
Whoa.
Last 10 years that have been fired and canceled and whatever else, well, this guy continued to just slip past?
Well, he was fired by NBC.
TNT brought him on, though.
Yeah. Second chance.
To be honest, this is the first time I've heard his name, and I feel like I should know him, but I do not.
Wow.
Oh, you know Marv Albert.
You know Marv Albert. You know his voice.
I mean, I guess I know his voice, but I've never really distinguished him.
If he walked into this room right now, though, I'm looking at his picture. I had to look up his picture for this segment. I would have had no idea who
he
was.
Well, cover up your arms and legs and don't let him bite you.
He might be a vampire.
Sounds like he's got some chompers, though, who can maybe get through a little cotton. I don't know. Either way.
Some chompers that can get through a little cotton.
You want to go third down?
Yes.
Let's go third down.
Please.
Texas Tech's guard Mack McClung.
Where's he going?
What's he doing? Is he going to the transfer portal or is he going to the NBA? Remaining in the NBA draft. He has signed with an agent, so he will not be in the transfer portal this year. He has elected to forgo his remaining college eligibility, keep his name in the 2021 NBA draft, according to ESPN Today.
Enjoy the G League, Mac. Maybe you get a two-way.
He was a Big 12 AP first team.
I mean, credit to him. He was a great
really
college,
came off the top great, rope on these last player, two on these last two downs on these people.
You're talking about me?
No, I'm talking about me and Charlie.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, he is a maybe get a two-way contract kind of guy.
No, you're right. You're right.
I need to find another.
Ball out a little bit in the G League. Maybe end up on someone's roster for the last seven games on a team that's 18 games under 500. You'll be like, oh, wow, did you see that the Pistons guard Mack McClung put up 35 last night in a 40-point loss to the Nets in the final game of the year? Wow, I remember him.
Oh, come on, Brandon, who's the guy in the Celtics right now who is, you know who I'm talking about. He could be just McClung.
The guy with the Celtics.
You know who I'm talking about.
You know
about.
Who he's talking about.
The guy with the buzz cut.
Oh, he's got hair.
Peyton Pritchard. I feel like Peyton Pritchard is not like Mack McClung.
You don't feel like Mack McClung could be a Peyton Pritchard kind of type?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Peyton Pritchard's pretty nasty. I mean, maybe Mack McClung could be like that too, though. Mack McClung was pretty nasty. But he's got to luck into such a good situation and hit all the right breaks.
Does anybody have anything against Joe Girardi or Gene Segura? Anybody?
I mean, I don't necessarily like Joe Girardi.
I don't like either of them very much. Both Phillies. Right,
You say about Tom Segura?
No, not Tom Segura.
I have nothing against Tom Segura.
No, not him.
Much in favor of him, actually.
No, not him. We're not talking comedy, right? I'm trying to find I'm trying to work on the fly a little bit, see if there's a different fourth down.
Well, I know what that story is, and it's a good one because we both don't like the Phillies, and it's not good for
them. Here we go. The injury-depleted Philadelphia Filthies lost a game, another umpire, and a little bit of their temper. Television cameras showed a confrontation in the dugout between Phillies manager Joe Girardi and second baseman Gene Segura during Sunday's 10-8 loss to the Blue Jays. Segura committed two errors. One miscue came in the first inning when Segura misplayed a soft one-hopper. At another point, Segura had to be restrained by coach Dusty Wathan.
Good.
Why would Tom Segura do such a thing?
No, not Tom Segura! The other guy,
Burn
Gene.
It down in Philly.
Gene Segura.
They were in first place for a little while. I guess this is a struggle.
They're a half
now.
Game back. My Nats within striking distance.
I thought you said you had something against the Phillies. What? Go off on the Phillies already.
They suck.
They smell bad.
Oh, my God. That's it? I thought you guys had something.
They do smell pretty bad there. I agree with the filth comment. They're not in first. Joe Girardi's aging.
He's a scumbag.
He's a scumbag.
All right, we're getting there.
Segura.
He's funny. Funny guy, Tom Segura.
Funny guy.
Fifth
that has
and
a great
bonus
joke.
Down.
Has a great joke about Cajuns.
Fifth and bonus down. RIP, we lost a legend over the weekend. Maybe a little bit of a niche legend, but if you know this guy, you love this guy. An ECW original, fifth down, honorary
Taz.
Down. No, not Taz.
I don't even know what the
Sandman.
ECW is.
No, not the Sandman.
Bugs Tommy Bunny. Dreamer.
No, not Tom Dreamer.
I don't know.
Is ECW one of your wrestlings?
Extreme Championship Wrestling,
it
Charlie.
It was one of the old wrestlings. This is the one that you would like. If we showed Charlie some old ECW
so
matches.
So it's not Taz. It's not Sandman.
Nope. It's
is
not
it
Tom
New
Dream.
Jack?
I don't know who this guy is.
Whoa. From out in left field, from the coming in from the bullpen. Charlie, what was that?
Old New Jack?
Old.
Greg. Wait.
Old New Jack. New Jack, one of the legends of ECW, one of the ECW originals. I guess he kind of is old New Jack.
I don't know this guy. I knew the other ones.
Yeah, well, you did
what
say
was,
the
what
other
was
ones.
The one guy's name?
God.
He wore like a headdress.
It's
like Sabu.
Yeah, Sabu.
Sabu, yeah.
Sabu.
Yeah,
Rick, I think
you're
getting a little liberal with the term legend.
No.
Can we just call
New Jack.
Old New Jack like
old New Jack.
A pretty good wrestler has died.
No, because that would be diminishing what... This is one of those guys who was in, like, the death matches, right? He was one of the guys who...
Is that how he went?
Who... No, he did not die in a death match. No. He died...
Be pretty soothing if he did.
I think he died from a lot of health concerns over many years.
Did anyone die in death matches?
People have died in death... Well, Rey Mysterio. You know him, right? The guy who wears a mask.
He's not alive.
So, he's alive, but he was wrestling a guy in Mexico. The guy dropped dead in the middle of the ring. This was, like, 2 years ago. Just
Rey Mysterio.
No, Rey Mysterio didn't kill a guy. Anyways, New Jack. R.I.P. man. Like, I showed you a video of him. New Jack was one of, if you go back all the way to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, right here in East Tennessee, a legend in the wrestling business, Smoky Mountain Wrestling. New Jack was a part of that. I showed you one of the videos of him over the weekend.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that guy. We can't play that on air.
No, we cannot.
It definitely cannot. But that's who passed away.
Oh, R.I.P.
Rest in peace.
Above average wrestler.
Shut up, New Jack. Here we go, back here on the Blitz. It is 11:22 a.m. Checking in with the second hour. We've still got two big things to talk about on the menu. Number one, looking back to the Tennessee baseball weekend, give you a little bit of a recap on our thoughts about where the Tennessee team stands now here after dropping 2-3 against Arkansas, even though every game in the series was a one-run ball game. The other thing we're going to get into coming up here after this segment right here is the NBA playoffs, man. It is finally here. It is time. The seeds are set. The matchups are upon us. Brandon, a lot of the, I think the matchups that you were saying that you were anticipating last week, just in terms of watchability, a lot of them actually kind of came true. And we still have more on the menu, but I don't want to get too ahead of myself. But LeBron and Steph, they're going to be squaring off. I know you love that my Mavs are going up against the Clippers.
I do.
And probably the best series in the Western Conference first round. So, we'll get into all that coming up here in the next segment because I really can't wait to talk about some NBA. But first, let's go back over to the Diamond one more time as we talk about Tennessee's weekend against Arkansas. Remember, in case you missed anything from the weekend, you can go back to fanrunradio.com, check out some of our postgame articles and recaps about the series. But ultimately, Brandon, you kind of came onto the show today a little bit frustrated because, correct me if I'm wrong here, but again, you are not looking at this weekend to justify Tennessee being a top five team or a top 10 team. You are looking at this weekend as an established top five team trying to get a series victory over a number one team. And even though that didn't happen, you know, you are looking at this more as frustration that you had that opportunity as opposed to, well, hey, we're still there and we gave a really good try.
We're past that.
Okay, good.
We're past that point.
Good.
It was okay for the Vanderbilt series. It was. I think that was fine. But I think Tennessee's come a long way since then, and it was either win and it be a success or lose and it was a failure. And like you said, there were some positives to be taken away, but at the end of the day, you didn't get the job done. And you had a chance to you had a bunch of chances to win this series and kind of control your own destiny and that's not to diminish anything that's been done this season. I mean, they're obviously still having a tremendous season and still have a lot out in front of them, but it's just disappointing when you had it right in front of you and you weren't able to capitalize.
Yeah, I mean, there's no shame really in losing, you know, two different one-run games to Arkansas.
Right.
There's no such thing as moral victories either, though, and you know it's disappointing that, again, you let some of those games slip. But is this some crushing loss? Is this going to derail anything that we've accomplished, or, you know, affect us in the long run? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, there were two interesting comments after the game by the Tennessee players in that direction that Charlie's referring to right there. Connor Pavloni, after the game on Sunday, said, "We don't do moral victories. We expected to win this series. We're disappointed that we didn't. We had the number one team in the country on the ropes for three straight days and won only one of them. We're pretty frustrated. We know we can beat anybody." And then in addition to that, Blade Tidwell had this to say. He said, "I'm mad right now after the game on Sunday. I hope everybody's mad. This should motivate everybody. We are right there." Brandon, like you had alluded to earlier, this Tennessee team did have the number one team in the country on the ropes for three straight days. Tennessee gave up a lead at the end of the game for three straight days. And that is a tough position to be in. Again, it's not even like a Friday's Vanderbilt game where you know that from the moment that Rocker started pitching, it was going to be an uphill battle. And then quickly into the game, you knew that there was really nothing going for you. Not in this one. Not in any of these. You had a lead going in late into the game. Your starting pitching was doing good. In moments, you knew that you had their pitching rotation a little bit off their game because of things that you had done earlier in the season. Tennessee just couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, I mean, and it's frustrating. But like I said, I think, I mean, they've still had a great season. And I mean, who knows? You could meet Arkansas again in the
Very
SEC
much.
Tournament.
And I kind of would like to. Again, I do think this rivalry is brewing.
Given the choice, I would not like to see them again. I would like to see someone
Well,
else,
look, but we know we're going to play a top team. Kind of Phil mentioned earlier, I think right now I'd rather maybe play Arkansas than Vanderbilt, but look, the Cops is just so daunting at the end of their rotation. Charlie, give me one positive takeaway and one negative takeaway from the weekend.
For me, a positive is the pitching performances that you got both Saturday and Sunday.
Yep.
From two guys that are really pitching well down the stretch. You know, they don't necessarily compare to some of the arms that maybe the best teams in the country have, but they're certainly pitching great as of late. Tidwell and Heflin.
Yeah.
I mean, Saturday, Heflin taking a perfect game into the fifth or sixth, I believe, fifth. Tidwell, you know, only giving up three hits, two runs, and getting into the eighth inning. Both of them did a tremendous job setting up their you know, their team in a position to win. As for a negative, I mean, again, you could look at the inconsistency of the offense, but I think the biggest negative for me this weekend is Sunday, you kind of lack that killer instinct. You had a freshman on the mound that was giving it everything he had and then some against the number one team in the country, limiting their run total to just two. And you were going up against a pitcher that hadn't made it past the third inning in any of his most recent three starts, a guy that had really been getting hit hard a lot as of late and had a very unimpressive ERA. Combined, you know, with him being on the mound, that being the guy you're facing, combined with the performance that Tidwell gave you, not having that killer instinct, not getting yourself run support, and putting yourself in a better position for when you eventually saw Kopp is pretty disappointing.
Yeah, man, we talked about it all week. Tennessee knew that they were going to have to jump out on an early lead to Arkansas because, again, if you look at any section of their team, whether you're talking about starting pitching, relief pitching, or offense, you know that their starting pitching is the lowest on the totem pole out of all three of those categories. So Tennessee knew that they were going to have to jump out to early leads in the weekend. But again, the unfortunate thing for the Vols is that, yeah, they were maybe able to catch Arkansas a little off their guard to start out the games, but you let the number one team in the country get settled in. You had a couple of opportunities for some knockout punches, especially there in the first game. Look, if you have eight innings to build upon a 5-0 lead at home, there's no excuse for losing that game. You start out the game up 5-0, and you lost 6-5. Again, that is so frustrating. There's no excuse for it. Now, there are lessons to be taken away, And hopefully it will help you again in your game tomorrow, in your game versus South Carolina coming up this weekend, which, by the way, all SEC teams are starting out their series on Thursday of this week. But regardless, there are positives to take away from the weekend, but at the same time, man, Tennessee left a little bit to be desired from the weekend. Tennessee returns to Lindsey Nelson Stadium tomorrow, 6:30 p.m. against Belmont for their final one midweek game before, again, starting the series at South Carolina on Thursday. Coming up a little bit in the week, we will dive into that South Carolina series a little bit, kind of talk about the SEC postseason, what you can expect from that tournament, and, again, preview this upcoming series on the road. But as far as things go now, all eyes are just on Tuesday, as hopefully Tennessee can close out the final home game of the regular season with a big in-state victory. All right, on the other side of the break, let's not waste any more time. Let's go right to the NBA playoffs and see what's cooking over there.
Attention homeowners, did you know your home equity might offer excellent borrowing potential? A home equity loan is an affordable way to pay for home improvements, college expenses, or consolidate those high interest debts. You could possibly qualify for some attractive tax advantages too. Contact us today to see how a home equity loan from Citizens National Bank can benefit you. Citizens National Bank. Banking never felt so good. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you in a financial hole that you can't get out of? Are debt collectors harassing you every day? Hi, I'm Jerry Givens, and I'm here to help. Stop the letters, stop the harassing calls. Get your peace of mind back and stop living in fear. Contact me today to set up a free, no-obligation consultation. And together, we will get your debt under control or even eliminated. Call me at 865-801-9250. 801-9250. The road to recovery starts here.
Ricker Ridge Barbecue. It's more than just dinner, it's a destination. Hey, this is Russell Smith, and whenever somebody asks me for a barbecue recommendation, I always tell them to take the quick drive up I-75 and visit Ricker Ridge Barbecue. Ricker Ridge is about a 20-minute drive up I-75 from downtown Knoxville. Just take exit 134 in Caribou, hang a right, and Rickard Ridge is tucked just inside Cove Lake State Park on your left. You can't miss it. Fall off the bone Memphis-style baby back ribs, slow-smoked chicken thighs, fresh, juicy, hand-cut steaks. Rickard Ridge has it all. And this ain't no Yankee chain store fly-by-night operation either. Owner Mark Rickard has spent years honing his smoking skills in Memphis, and his secret recipe and techniques have been driving East Tennessee wild for years. So make time to check him out. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, inside Cove Lake State Park, and online at rickardridgebbq.com.
Out in the country, past the city limit sign, where there's a honky-tonk near the county line. Joint starts jumping every night when the sun goes down. They got whiskey, women, music, and smoke. It's where all the cowboy folks.
11:34 back on the Blitz. This next segment is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. The NBA play-in tournament gives some teams one last shot to make the playoffs. But everyone can bet this round risk-free on FanDuel. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. FanDuel has teamed up with basketball legends Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith to make sure you'll get your money back if you don't win. That's any user, any bet type, any game. Starting tomorrow night, you've got the East first couple of games. The Pacers will take on the Hornets in the 9-10 game at 6:30 on TNT. And then game two will be the Celtics and the Wizards at 9 on TNT. On Wednesday, you've got the Grizzlies taking on the Spurs at 7:30 on ESPN. That's the 9-10. And then the Lakers and the Warriors at 10 Eastern on ESPN. That is the 7-8 game. In the West, The NBA play-in tournament is going down May 18th through the 21st, and FanDuel just made it even more exciting. It's all part of FanDuel's play-in palooza.
What?
Play-in palooza.
I love a good palooza.
So if you already have a sportsbook account, just open the app and opt in to claim your risk-free bet. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code BLITZ to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000 exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. New users risk-free bet for first real money wager only. And refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789.
All right, here we go. Let's try to spell out everything that you need to know about the NBA playoffs real quick before we get to talking about the actual matchups and the seeding and everything. Looking at the Eastern Conference play-in teams, let's see. You will have the 7-seed Celtics, the 8-seed Wizards, the 9-seed Pacers, and the 10-seed Hornets. Like Brandon said, the Hornets and Pacers playing on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern. And the Wizards and the Celtics will play at 9 o'clock Eastern on Tuesday. Then the Western Conference, you got the Spurs and the Grizz at 7:30 on Wednesday. And the Warriors and the Lakers, I think probably the matchup that most people are excited about, coming up at 10 o'clock p.m. on Wednesday. That is going to be a late game for us folks on the East Coast. But either way, looking at the other side of the standings, though, as things shaped up, the Sixers, the 1 seed, the Nets 2, Bucks 3, Knicks 4, Hawks 5, Heat 7, or excuse me, 6. Looking at the Western Conference, 1 Jazz, 2 Suns, 3 Nuggets, 4 Clippers, 5 Mavericks, 6 Blazers. I cannot wait for how these things are shaping up. And in the Western Conference, you've had a little bit of justified tanking, very organized tanking, kind of to get the right seeding and to figure out how to play those games. Is nobody in the West wants to be 1 or 2, potentially playing the Warriors or the Lakers coming out of the play-in tournament. So you have some interesting matchups there. You got some interesting matchups on the East side of things. What is the matchup that you're most looking forward to out of the play-in tournament and the first round of the playoffs? And hey, pick your own team if you want.
I think potentially, if the Lakers win that game on Wednesday, I think the Suns-Lakers will be a good series. And I kind of think the Lakers and the Warriors will make it into those last two spots. And I think the Warriors and Jazz will be a really good series as well. But one that I've had my eye on, a series that I was hoping for, Rick, Clippers-Mavs.
God. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how that worked out.
Y'all got some bad blood.
There is some beef between those two teams. And if you want to turn on an NBA playoff series that's going to get a little chippy again, let's not forget that one of the Morris boys tried to tear off Luka's Achilles from his ankle during the last playoff tournament that they had. So there is some definite beef there between those two teams. Of course they match back up. Of course it's going to get chippy. And I think that could wind up being one of the most exciting games of this first round of the playoffs. For sure.
I'm pretty excited about just the prospect of both the Celtics and the Lakers being in the play-in tournament. I mean, two teams that were considered to be favorites for their division coming into the season. Two teams that, you know, one of them won the NBA Finals. The other was a series away from reaching it last year. And now, I mean, they're a couple bad quarters of basketball away from going home early. The Wizards and the Celtics really intrigues me. You have a Celtics team that's, I mean, just falling off a cliff to the finish line.
We're struggling.
And you have a Wizards team that has two really talented scorers, and it's been pretty hot as of late. It's played really well to somehow sneak their way into that 8 seed. So that one interests me. And the Knicks and the Hawks interest me. Because the Knicks, you know, for a while they were like, oh, wow, you know, the Knicks are hot, guys. The Knicks,
Yeah, they're just
they're creeping
well.
Creeping into the playoffs, and then went from the Knicks are hot to Knicks are pretty good. But we haven't seen them in the playoffs so long, and they really lack a lot of playoff experience. You know, I'll be interested to see how they handle it now that there are actually some expectations on them. And the same goes for the Hawks. It's a team that hasn't been in the playoffs much either and doesn't really have much playoff experience on that roster. Two kind of up-and-coming teams. That should be a pretty good one.
I think I give the edge to the Knicks because of Thibodeau.
I would agree with that. I think they're better coached, and you know, I think their star is better than the Hawks' star.
Something interesting that looking at from just the entire standings, everybody who's locked into a 1-6 seed in both conferences in their last 10 games have had a record of 6-4 or better, except for one team. But everybody else, 6-4, 7-3, or 8-2, as the teams who are in the playoffs right now have been hot lately. The only team that's not, the LA Clippers. Wouldn't you know? Everybody else, though, is playing really good basketball right now, which, hey, if you're an NBA fan, that is exactly what you're looking for. But going back to Charlie's point, Brand, tell me about Celtics a little bit. And I'm not saying this at all to point out some kind of you're in the play-in tournament. But I just want to know about what kind of chances, I mean, you're giving them in this thing. What about how are the injuries going to play in?
I mean, they're going to be huge. I mean, the Celtics have been injured all season long. They rested their starters yesterday, basically knowing that they're locked into the play-in game at the 7. I mean, it's going to come down to Tatum and Kimba's going to have to bring it. But I mean, with Brown being out, I mean, you're so limited.
And Kimba did not play well in the playoffs last year.
No, he didn't. So hopefully he can turn that around. But, I mean, I don't know. Like Charlie said, in these kind of one-game situations, and like
Charlie, all it takes is like a bad quarter.
And you've got the Wizards who have got Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. I mean, those guys can go off. So I'm concerned.
Wow. Interesting matchups all around as we look at the standings here. Man, it's really got to suck to be Utah or Phoenix, right? Like, that has to be miserable to have gone through this whole season, 70-something games, only to end up with the defending champions and arguably the greatest shooter of all time, who has taken his team on a major winning streak as they've won their last 6 straight games, including 8 out of their last 10. I mean, that's just who is on the menu for the first and the second teams in the Western Conference. That's got to suck.
If you're the Suns, who would you rather play?
The Warriors.
The Warriors. You don't want
to.
No.
Nobody
one,
wants,
no
to,
one
play
wants to
the
play
Lakers.
LeBron.
Nobody.
Is
you're
he
an idiot?
Is
he
idiot?
You want it.
Oh, sorry.
No, we're not calling you an idiot. Saying if,
oh, I thought
if
we
anybody,
were calling him an idiot.
Well, you can do that. I won't. You know.
Well, I only did it because
this guy's my friend.
Well, he's my friend too. But I thought we were just.
He's
okay
better
with
my
it
friend
right now.
I mean, is LeBron are they full go now? LeBron and Anthony Davis,
LeBron,
are they
James.
Sure.
LeBron James, did he play? Let's see.
Yeah, I mean they're back. They're the Lakers.
2 hours ago from CBS Sports, LeBron James says his ankle will quote be fine after tweaking an injury in a win over the Pelicans. So maybe he's still a little, you know. But he did play 27 minutes yesterday, 28 minutes the game before, 25 and 24 points apiece. He's going to be fine.
The Western Conference runs through Salt Lake City.
What a weird thing to say.
And you don't just waltz into Salt Lake City and come out with a win.
I hope the Lakers don't even make it out of the play-in. I hope the Grizzlies get them.
They're not going to lose to the Spurs or the Grizzlies.
Dude, the Grizzlies play really good basketball.
The Spurs are bad as of late. They have just hung on so barely.
They're
just
lucky that the Pelicans lost their last 4 games and the Kings lost their last 3.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they've lost 4 in a row as well. They're 2-8 in their last 10. Oh, they're not going to be a tough out. Grizzlies, maybe a little bit more.
The Grizzlies, I think, are a tough out. I mean, they've played teams really well. They're point differential was really good for a team with a record as bad, you know, at the level theirs is, because, you know, they lose really close games. They play teams really well. I wouldn't sleep on them.
I don't know how often this has happened in NBA history, but every single team in the National Basketball Association averaged triple digits in points this year. Every single one.
Huh.
The Rockets at 105 and the Cavs at 103 and the Magic at 104. Those were the lowest. But every single team in the NBA averaged triple digits.
How about this?
Which is crazy considering we were watching The Last Dance about a year ago this time when, I mean, God, how many of those Michael Jordan Bulls games did I watch on that documentary that were like a real 85 to 78 barn burner? It's crazy how much the game has evolved since then.
How about this?
Even the worst teams are triple-digit locks.
The Heat averaged 108.1 points per game and allowed an average of 108.0 points per game.
Unbelievable. A .0 or a plus 0.1.
Yeah.
Differential. That's incredible.
That Heat-Bucks series, by the way, going to be pretty, pretty good.
Yeah, it is shaping up to be good. Both teams are 8-2 in their last 10.
The Heat are the hottest team in the NBA, best record since April 18th, April 19th, one of those 2 days. And they certainly play the Bucks well.
That's
Giannis
stellar.
Giannis does not want to see Bam Adebayo.
I've got to figure out my bracket, my projected bracket. I can't wait to fill this out. It's
going to
be fascinating. But
you got to
wait until
the play-in.
But you got to guess the play-ins, right?
Well,
I feel like we fill out a
March Madness brackets. Like, we don't fill in the
play-ins. I don't think there's a precedent. Like, I'll fill out.
I would say that the precedent would come from March Madness, and you don't have to fill in the play-ins in March Madness.
Yeah, but these are much more interesting of play-ins. I don't care about, you know, the
play-ins in the March Madness.
The
two out of four don't have a chance.
Yeah, they don't matter.
But two of them usually make a run. Like this past year, we had a play-in Final Four team.
Here's the nice part. You can fill out your bracket any darn way you want. We'll come back with the final hour of hour number two next. There ain't nothing about you that don't do something for me. That's where I first saw me. All right, here we go. Back here. Final segment of the Blitz here on a Monday morning. Hopefully you have enjoyed the show so far. Hopefully you tuned in and you got to learn something along the way. About this time, we'll go ahead and close out the show with one of our favorite things to do. Also, Charlie, don't forget to grab the days, because I had forgotten about that in the meantime, right?
Oh,
grab the days. Also, we're going to go ahead and say this. If you haven't heard, today is our good friend Chance Collins' birthday. So go ahead, jump over to the Twitter machine. If you're lucky enough to have his phone number, of course, send him a text. But go over to the Twitter machine, go find his profile, and send him a big happy birthday shout-out.
Charlie.
Yes, sir?
Cue my music.
Oh, my God, he's got music.
Give me Florida Man.
Oh, that's what I was...
Oh, here we go.
I was thinking your music was.
Everyone from Florida is stupid. Everyone from Florida is dumb.
They're dumb.
I might not be the brightest guy, but next to them my IQ's high. If they had guitars, here's how they'd strum.
Let's head down to Tampa, Florida.
Let's go.
Tampa.
One Florida man says he didn't need to think twice when it came to rescuing his 8-month-old Labrador from the jaws of an alligator. Mike McCoy says he was walking his chocolate lab puppy Jake near a pond when an alligator jumped out from the water and pulled the dog under.
Woo! Uh-oh.
He didn't hesitate. It was a parental instinct, he told NBC6. Let's see. McCoy told WSVN he used his thumb to poke the alligator's eye.
What?
And says he picked it up out of the water to make sure it wouldn't go anywhere until Jake was free.
Everyone knows if you're poking an alligator in the eye, it's the pointer finger or the middle finger.
He went thumb.
Thumb to the eye. Everybody knows that, of course.
It's the first thing they teach you.
Also, I ain't putting my hand that close to an alligator. I'm going to try to find a stick.
Let's see. And then McCoy continued. And in the interim, he decided, okay, I don't have him. I'll bite you.
What?
The whole thing went down near a middle school where luckily The nurse on duty saw the whole thing happen was able to bandage up McCoy, according to the WSVN. So the alligator got both McCoy and Jake the dog. They both had to get stitches, but I think they are both okay.
Wow. Good man sacrificing life and limb to save his dog, but not the way that I would have done it.
Your dog gets attacked by an alligator. Oh, are you...
I'm risking my life.
Are you jabbing its eye with your thumb?
Or index finger? I'm full on. I'm choke-holding it. I'll bite the alligator.
Oh,
oh no, be... I'll do anything to save my dog.
If you don't save the dogs, the internet's going to come after you.
I mean, like a stranger, like I'm calling for help. But if it's my dog, like, yeah, I'm risking my life to save it.
Wow. Just imagining my tiny dog being in the water, all scared. She's an old woman, too. Like, there's nothing she can do. Well, I think I'd have to jump in.
She's not an old woman.
Not a lot of life left, anyway.
It's an old dog, and it's a lady dog, so it's an old woman.
If you haven't heard,
I told you last week. You gotta stop me on these bad jokes before they even come out. They're getting really frequent lately.
If you haven't heard,
yep.
We got a major this weekend. I know we got a whole lot of stuff going on this this week, but we also got the PGA Championship.
Oh,
coming up.
The Byron Nelson was last weekend, right? Just finished up.
AT&T Byron Nelson.
Who won?
In McKinney.
Do we know?
I think it was Kaeyoung Hoon Lee. I don't know.
Okay, I'll look it up.
But, yeah, we got the Ocean Course at Kiawah Island in South Carolina. The defending champion is Colin Morikawa. And your favorites this year, McIlroy, Rahm, Spieth, Thomas, DeChambeau, Dustin Johnson, Hovland, and Schauffele. So, your
the
typical
usual
favorites.
Suspects.
This the course is supposed to be really difficult, right?
Yeah, it's a difficult course. It's a really neat course. I like it a lot. I think we're going to have a really good tournament this weekend.
All right, well, unless anybody else says anything quick, we'll move
into
the days.
One more if you haven't heard.
Yep.
John Hines, Nashville Preds coach, just had his press conference, and he said Victor Arvidsson, who has been out since April 27th with an injury, will be back tonight.
All right, breaking news right here on the Blitz about the Preds.
I know everyone was on the edge of their seats wondering.
I mean, I was. Now I can safely move my booty back to the edge of the seat. The back edge, you know.
Days.
Well, yeah, you know when this music plays, it's time.
Come on.
Your national days. We got National Pack Rat Day.
Oh, it's a state day.
Shout out to
Rick. Pack Rat Day. We had a rat in our bird feeder of the week, and we'll tell that story tomorrow. Yeah, we'll tell that story tomorrow.
What was that noise? Anyway,
I forgot about the
National
rat in the bird
Cherry Cobbler
feeder.
Day.
Yep.
National Graduation Tassel Day. That's just stupid. National Walnut Day.
Okay. New Mexico.
You're stealing
California.
My thunder.
California. Come
you're,
on.
You're reading
go,
it.
It's National Idaho Day.
Idaho.
I spend most every day.